Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Locked on Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be on board. Of course, I am the morning host on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM, a contributor for the Commercial Appeal on occasion, also host of this here podcast. I've been covering the Grizzlies for 15 years. Thank you for joining me on the pod. Today, we're going to talk about where the Grizzlies stand at this moment and exactly what it means to tank. Also, take a look at Mike Conley and what his future will bring. I was reminded of this watching last night a lot of college basketball, tons of NBA to watch, but I was watching a little college basketball because there was no Grizzly game to follow. Saw another spectacular performance from Trae Young, one rebound away from a triple-double. If you haven't been following college basketball, a lot of you are international listeners. You probably don't get a chance to watch much college basketball, but there are some really superb prospects in this year's draft. Young is the most exciting of the bunch. He's unbelievable to watch. But it just heightened the discussion about, in my mind, like I'm watching this now with a whole new set of eyes, because these are guys that the Grizzlies could theoretically get their hands on, whether you're talking about him or DeAndre Ayton, or whether you're talking about Marvin Bagley or Luka Doncic, who is spectacular, or go down to a couple of the Bridges, Michael Bridges, Miles Bridges, you know, Jaren Jackson. You know, that's not even to mention Michael Porter, who is hurt, but who's, you know, got a spectacular athletic background. There's so many guys that are out there in this draft that potentially could be really, really special. It is just the perfect time to make sure that you are in a position to draft them, particularly when you are where the Grizzlies are, which is one of the worst teams in the league. And we're halfway through the season, for all intents and purposes, 38 games in. It's an 82-game season, so you're three games away from being officially halfway through the season. The Grizzlies are one of the worst teams in the league. If they win all three of these upcoming games, then they're still going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So you could say it, you have to admit it, you have to talk about it, it is what it is. The Grizzlies are one of the worst teams in the league, which means now, if you're that way, when you're halfway through the season, you have to start thinking about going the other way. Not going towards the playoffs, because that's not going to happen, going the other way. Again, if you want to look at last night to discuss that point, then look at the results of all the games. You saw so many games last night that were played among teams that are ahead of the Grizzlies when it comes to trying to get those playoff spots. So, like, all right, when you're talking about those teams, they're all playing each other. And when they're playing each other, then this is going to blow your mind, guys, so I hope you're sitting down for this. When those teams are playing each other, one of them is going to win. And this is the crazy part. One of them is going to lose. So when you have a game, for example, like Phoenix and Denver, well, Phoenix lost, Denver won. Had it been the other way around, it would have really been materially the same from the Grizzlies' perspective, because Denver's probably going to end up settling back into trying to fight for some of the last playoff spots. Phoenix is obviously, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but they're ahead of the Grizzlies at the moment. Same thing with Pelicans, Jazz. Pelicans won in Utah, very impressive performance. Both teams fighting it out for that eighth seed. Well, one won and one loss, which means you're guaranteed not to make up any ground in that department. There's too many teams. Not only is the amount of games, it feels like you say, oh, there's seven games out. That doesn't feel like it's that much. But when you are seven games out with six teams that you have to pass, it's basically an impossibility. It's why, again, I will point out the Basketball Reference playoff prediction is that the Grizzlies have a 0.7% chance of making the playoffs. That's why you think, well, how is that the case? Seven games out, that seems a little crazy, but that's why. Because you have to have so many different games go in your direction and go your way. And not only that, but then you have to finish at a clip that is, you know, basically impossible for the Grizzlies to maintain. So it's best to just kind of get that out of your mind now. Just get out the playoffs. Wash it away. Wash it away. It's over. It's done. And once you do that, then you'll find yourself in a much better frame of mind going forward for what this season really is supposed to be all about. That's what I'm thinking. Just mentally, you have to get yourself kind of ready for that whole deal. And that's where I worry that the Grizzlies aren't there organizationally. It's why when I talk about tanking, it's not necessarily tanking in the way that you may think. Let me talk about that in a second. But first, bowl season is here. Heck, the national championship game is right around the corner. And it's time to get in on all the action with MyBookie. Are you sick of getting the runaround when you ask for your payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag. That's MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Crypto, baby! Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, especially if you've never tried to get your money. If you want to make money betting the big games, whether it's the bowl games, whether it's the playoffs, professional football, or anything else, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. You don't have to take my word for it, though. Check them out for yourself. They've got odds on every matchup, in-game live betting on the NFL playoff games and the national championship game. If you join now, they'll match your deposit. MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus if you use the promo code LONBA. That's LONBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Use promo code LONBA. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. So when we talk about tanking, what does that mean? What is a tank anyway? That's the title of the episode. That's what I want to talk about. What does it mean to tank? When we talk, especially when it comes to the Grizzlies specifically, it was obvious when we talked about a tank with the Philadelphia 76ers. It was very clear what that meant. They made it crystal clear. Sam Hinkie could not have been more obvious with what he was doing, trading away any and all present assets, trying to get draft picks, trying to open up cap room so that he could take on bad contracts to get more draft picks, to take as many shots as he could, as many bites at the apple to try to get superstars. He made the determination, rightly so, that the only way to really give yourself a true, serious, fair shake at getting a superstar is to get as many draft picks as you can possibly get and hope that you hit on a few. Not easy. Even getting the picks, you've seen lots of teams get those picks, and lots of teams get those picks wrong. So it's not a guarantee just getting the picks. You got to get the pick right. You got to hope that they're players that develop. You got to hope that a lot of things happen. But, I mean, that's part of it. All you can do is get yourself in a position to roll the dice and hope that the dice come up favorably. They've done that. Now you look at Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, two foundational players, other guys that are, you know, very solid contributors to the mix as well. You know, Covington, Saric, among others, they've done McConnell. They've done a good job of getting talent at the top and the bottom of the draft and in free agency as well. That's their version of tanking. It took 3 years. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but they took it to the extreme to do that. And they've still got other assets that are left to come. I mean, Markelle Fultz, we haven't even, you know, had a chance to see. That being said, that's not really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Grizzlies tanking. Because part of the reason is, we talked about it on the podcast yesterday, I don't think that Mark Gasol, trading Mark, is going to be the panacea that some would think. I don't think that that would be the be-all, end-all of tanking, that you're going to get back enough to justify it. I don't think that the market for Mark is that strong. Even though there aren't that many centers on the market, maybe just him in terms of a true impact guy, I still don't think that based on his performance this year, the reputation and everything else, I don't think there's going to be a huge market for him. There'll be teams that would be interested, but what you would get back is not going to be something that is going to, you know, make your eyes bulge out and have it a must-do deal. So the Grizzlies would have to be committed and just say, look, we're dumping him essentially for salary relief and maybe, you know, mid-level assets. I doubt that they're to the point where that would be attractive to them. So what does a tank mean if you're not trading Mark? Well, step number one is tanking, to me, is losing with a purpose. It's having a plan. So step one is have a plan. Right now, what is the plan for this Grizzly team? This, to me, has been the issue for the team for a long time. And it goes back to the, I think, very weak and ineffective leadership at the very top from Robert Pera, who is aloof, who is out of touch, who is not really hands-on, who has delegated authority to Joe Abadi, who then deals with the staff, and you have three different guys that have some level of control in basketball operations, but everyone can then kind of delegate certain things, and then who's responsible for what. There doesn't seem to be a clear plan. That's one issue. And then that has kind of manifested itself in this season of what is the goal now? I know what the goal was, but that obviously hasn't worked. So what's the plan now? The plan now, in my mind, cannot be we're trying to make the playoffs. If that is the message that comes from the front office, we're trying to make the playoffs still, that is a head-in-the-sand philosophy. That is an admission that you're not paying attention. And to me, I'm not even talking about publicly, because publicly you may have to say that. I'm talking about privately. That can't be what they're saying. That can't be the thought. You have to look and know that the reality is, the likelihood is beyond almost any comprehension that you're going to miss the playoffs. That's the likelihood. So now, what does that mean? What do you do with that information? If you take it then the next step as an organization and you say, well, okay, we're going to miss the playoffs. The next step then is, what do we do then? Is it better to miss the playoffs with dignity and passion and pride and going out fighting and swinging and playing veterans and really, making sure that we, give it the absolute best effort? Here's where Mike Conley comes into play. Or do we say, hey, as an organization, we're not making the playoffs, so we're going to play our young guys. We're going to try our best to compete with them. We want them to give 100% effort. We want them to perform as well as they possibly can, but we're going to be aware that it's best to let these guys develop and to give them an opportunity to play meaningful NBA minutes. And if we lose games, then, hey, all the better. Knowing that either way, you're going to miss the playoffs, what is the better course of action for a team in desperate need of finding talent? It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Which takes me back to Mike Conley. If you're going to bring Mike Conley back, and we should be getting an update maybe later on today, maybe tomorrow. We're at about the two-week mark with Mike Conley. If you're going to bring Mike Conley back, you can't bring Mike Conley back with the idea that he alone is going to be the difference in you making a push to the playoffs. That, to me, is unrealistic. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it is highly improbable. And the job of the front office should be to assess probability and where things go. That's not a popular job. That doesn't mean you should do exactly what the fans want you to do. In fact, sometimes it means you have to do the opposite of that. But if you are a steward of the franchise and you're trying to build for the future, you have to look at what is probable rather than what is theoretically possible. And in my mind, that means, bringing Mike Conley back should be done with caution, because he does have an injury that can, get worse with play. Now, you have to keep him happy. Mike is not necessarily going to be happy just sitting on the bench and being given the, vacation for the rest of the year the way that the Suns treated Eric Bledsoe last year. He's not going to want that. So if he can play and he wants to play, you're going to have to bring him back. But do so judiciously. Do so very carefully. Do so with the Grizzlies' patented, tried-and-true minutes restrictions in full effect. Not only for his health, because you want to make sure that Mike is healthy for next season, but also for your team's health. And the fact that you don't want to go and try to finish kind of being neither fish nor fowl, going halfway and winning enough games to be like, you know, a bad low lottery team, not really taking full advantage of what is a fantastic draft class. So tanking is about a mindset, and it's not necessarily a negative mindset. It's a realistic mindset. You can't continue to delude yourself as an organization into thinking that you have a better opportunity than you do. You can't keep looking around the rest of basketball and thinking, well, if everything goes right, if this goes, if a million things drop in the right direction, then this team could be a playoff team. And then, by the way, to what end? So if you're a playoff team, you keep that streak alive for what? To get destroyed in the first round and to have not necessarily developed the young talent that you need to develop? This is about the mindset, which means, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Kobe Simmons, which means you'll have to figure out what you're going to do with him once his two-way days are up. He's got 45 two-way days, which means you may have to sign him to a long-term deal and cut somebody else, or sign him to a Grizzly deal, not a long-term deal, excuse me, but like a main roster deal and cut somebody else. That would be, yeah, you should seriously consider trading Tyreke Evans. Yeah, you should seriously consider making Ivan Rabb a big part of things. You gotta start finding what you can find. And I think kind of quietly, the Grizzlies have sort of started doing that. Coincidentally enough, it has led to better performances, at least offensively. And that would be expected. I mean, you normally expect young guys to be ahead of the curve offensively and then struggle defensively. And that's really what we've seen from the Grizzlies. They've been a more fun offensive team. They've been a better offensive team. They've been a worse defensive team over the last few games. They've been a much worse defensive team since J.B. Bickerstaff jumped on as head coach. But if you're playing young players, that's the expectation. That's what you would think. And that's not such a bad thing. You know, it's hard to learn the kind of team defense that the Grizzlies want to play. It's hard to put all those concepts in the middle of the season with guys that didn't get them in training camp. That's tough. And you know, it's not the smartest basketball team in the world, the Grizzlies. So, you know, you have to work with the situation that you have. So all this stuff, you're already kind of doing some of it as a tank, like a stealth tank. I think Chris Harrington talked about it being like, what, a graceful tank? That you've already got some of those pieces in place. So my contention, my hope, my thought is do it the right way. Do it the right way. Don't half-ass the job. Don't fall backwards into it. Have a purpose. That's where the organization, to me, has always struggled. That's where they are going to have to improve. That's what they need to find out. What do you want to do? And part of it is a lot of those guys that are there. Now, this may be a little inside baseball, I guess, but it's, you guys, this is for you, for the podcast. So you guys are big fans. I try to give you the unvarnished truth as much as I can. There are a lot of those guys in the front office who are fighting for their jobs, who don't know what the future will hold. I mean, you don't know what the ownership situation, you don't know how this buy-sell is going to go. And guys that are fighting for their jobs tend to think very short-term. You don't think long-term when you're not sure if you're going to be there long-term. If you're Chris Wallace, I mean, are you sure you're going to be there? If you're any of those guys, are you sure that you're going to be part of things next year? So you tend to think very short-term, and your window is very small when you're worried about what the future would hold. And I can't necessarily blame someone for that. That's why everyone has to be on the same page, top to bottom. That's why you see coaches sometimes fail to play young players, because they're worried about the short term, about their job, about fitting certain criteria. You have to commit to it top down if you're going to develop young players and maximize this opportunity to get a good player. I'm not sure the Grizzlies are set up to do that. That's my worry. That's my concern. That's what their tank needs to be. I'm not sure yet that that's what their tank really is. We'll talk tomorrow about more of this and get you set for the Wizards game. Again, a late start. It is wrestling night. I will tell you, I got the crown that they are giving away, and it is spectacular. It's a replica of Jerry the King Lawler's famous crown. He is the king, king of Memphis. It's an awesome crown. You're going to want it. It's the first 5,000 that arrive at FedEx Forum are going to get it. Dave Brown, Memphis legend. For those that don't know, if you didn't grow up in Memphis, Dave was a weatherman for Channel 5 and also was the host, along with Lance Russell, of Studio Wrestling Forever every Saturday morning. And he's awesome. Dave is a super classy, nice guy, as warm and friendly a guy as you're ever going to want to meet. He's going to be the MC of Wrestling Night. There's always something fun. It's always awesome. They had the Z-Bo Wrestling Buddy last year. They had the Luchador Mask the year before that. They had the Grizzly Weight Championship Belt the first time out, which was still the greatest promotional item that has ever existed. So regardless of what happens on the floor, off the floor, it's going to be awesome. Wrestling Night is great. Kudos to the ops people for my favorite night of the year. You're going to want to check it out tomorrow night at FedEx Forum. We'll talk then. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Thanks for listening to Locked On Grizzlies.